Start SOTA today, and exciting. I'll give a little background to SOTA before we start. I give you the psukim so that you have them for the rest of the sect. It's always good to have the psukim. But the important thing is that actually the parsha of Nazir and the parsha of SOTA are found in Parshat Naso, which is in Sefer Bamidbar. And the problem with that is that they don't really belong there. And that, in general, if you were to look at these two parshas, if you look both at the parsha of Nazir, which we just finished, Masechet Nazir, Nazir is compared to a Kohen Gadol, and we saw it was compared to Mitzorah, and the framework in which the Torah talks about a Nazir is talking about the carbonot of the Nazir, the carbon of the Nazir if he becomes Tameh, the Torah to Nazir if he becomes, how does he mitar himself, which seems to follow what's found in Torah's Kohanim, found in Sefer Vayikra, so Torah to Mitzorah, right? How you mitameh yourself, when someone's Tameh, how they become Tahor, someone, the process by which something takes place in Migdash. The same thing is true by Sota. Right, so Sota is another parsha that probably does not belong in Sefer Bamidbar, does not belong in Sefer Naso, but rather is a parsha of Torah Kohanim. You'll see through the psukim here, I broke them up into, you know, quotes, quasi paragraphs here, but involved, the last paragraph is Zot Torah Taknaot, which is Zot Torah, or Zot Torah to something, is a framework that's used throughout Vayikra, and not in Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar is about the Machana, is about stuff outside the Mishkan and outside of the Kohanim, whereas the Sefer Vayikra is Torah Kohanim, has to do with the Kohanim. If you look through the parsha of Sota that I just brought you, the Kohen is the mainstay, is the main part of almost the entire parsha over here. From excluding the first two cutouts that I made here, everything is about the Kohen, about the Kohen, about the Mishkan, and what happens in the Mishkan with the Kohen. And then it concludes with Zotrat Knoot, which is something that would be found in Sefer Vayikra. So again, I would say both Nazir and Sota, in a sense, are misplaced in the middle of Parshat Naso, and even the rest of that parsha over there with Birkat Kohanim, which follows at the end of Naso, also doesn't seem, all seems to be shayach to that which is found in Sefer Vayikra, because it's the Kohanim. There are other aspects, right? The menorah, that's in the beginning of Belozcha. There are certain aspects that seem to belong to the parsha of Sefer Vayikra, and not. So I'll address Sota Nazir, which we are dealing with, and the Gemara itself is actually going to ask the question. It's not, you know, my own question, not my own invention. The Rishonim dealt with it. But I'll just give maybe the bigger picture about the fact that Bamidbar is the Sefer HaMachaneh, is the Sefer about the outside, that which takes place in the Mishkan, and the Kedushat HaMachaneh, that we have the Shechina, that Shor in the Mishkan, that's the center of the Machaneh. That's what we're going to discuss in, you know, Sefer Bamidbar, and Parshat Bamidbar, and Parshat Naso, but how the camp was laid out around the Mishkan. And the Mishkan was the center of life for the Machaneh. So whether Sefer Yikra dealt with the Mishkan itself, and the Kedushat the Mishkan, how you enter the Mishkan, when someone's Tameh, they can't enter the Mishkan, when someone's Tahor, they can't enter Kedushat HaZman, Kedushat HaMakom, right? And Kedusha in general, centered in the Mishkan itself, the Bamidbar deals with the Machna, that which surrounds the Mishkan. And the Kedusha of the Machna, which is right, that the Mishkan permeates the Machna that's around it and affects the Machna around it. So why is Nazir and Sota found in Sefer Bamidbar, not found in Sefer Vayikra? And I think partly they're found here just because they are somewhat of a bridge between the two. You know, these are items that actually bridge the Machna and the Mishkan. So for instance, take the Nazir. The Nazir is someone who's found chutz, right, the Mishkan. But he's acting or in a manner or making himself in a manner that is like a Kohen Gadol, someone who does function in the Mishkan. So it's a way or a vehicle by which a person in the Machaneh is mekadesh themselves or elevate themselves, right? Again, notwithstanding all the issues with the Nazir and the quote-unquote chataim involved with the Nazir, but the idea is elevating that which is in the Machaneh to the level of the Mishkan, meaning elevating that one who's found in the Machaneh, someone who does not normally serve in the Mishkan, to the level, same level as someone does normally say, function in the Mishkan. So the same thing with Sota. I say Sota is really about, right, Shalom Bayis, but in a broader sense, the idea of the Kedusha of the marriage, and the Kedusha of, or the importance, right, of maintaining the shalom in the marriage, and because the shalom in the marriage and the bayit that one builds outside of the Mishkan, right, has to be loosely termed as mikdash ma'at, that one's house functions like a Mishkan and functions like a mikdash, and in which the children are brought up and the Mesorah is passed on, that they function in the machaneh like the Mishkan does at the center. Just like the Mishkan is the center of Torah, the center of the Hashrat HaShchinah, each house or each part of the machaneh functions that way. And since the framework in which a house is built is the husband and wife and the shalom between them, and that's what generates the Hashrat HaShchinah and the ability to have that Mesorah. So the Sota here is someone where that's been abrogated. I mean, that there's a problem here in the Shalom Bayit. And where do they go? Where do they go to get that fixed? Or who do they approach? They approach the Kohen and the Mishkan to have that straightened out. And again, to have the Mishkan influence the Machaneh. Here's the Machaneh. There's a problem in the Machaneh. Where do they go to get it fixed? Where do they go in order to, reestablish that house? They go to the Mishkan and to the Kohen, who helps them to reestablish the house and reestablish the Kedushat HaMachaneh. So I think these two, Nazir and Sultan, I would say the same thing with Birkat Kohanim, the idea that the Kedushah, the Bracha that it emanates from the Mishkan is that given out to the Machaneh. It goes out to the Machaneh. These are ideas, these are concepts that bridge the Machaneh to the Mishkan, and that they give the Kedushah to the Machaneh and remind us of the centrality of the Mishkan to the Machaneh, but in the Machaneh itself. That even though we leave the Mikdash, even though we leave the Mishkan, that our lives and the way we conduct ourselves and conduct in the Machaneh has to be influenced by the Mishkan and by the Hashrat Shekhinah that's in the center of the Machaneh. So that's just a broad background against Sota Nazir. The second part of that about Sota is just a quick background about the how Sota works or what happens with Sota. There are many terms that we're going to see in the Gemara today. Something called Kinui, Stira, and Tuma. Right, that the way the Sota works is, number one, that's something called Kinui. In the Gemara, we're going to discuss how these work, what do you need to have Kinui and all this. I'm just giving you the terms and the terminology, and we'll see in the Gemara how this works. Kinui means that the husband somehow has to warn his wife that he's upset or he does not want her interacting with a certain individual. That's called Kinui. Then you have to add Stira. Stira means that after the husband has warned his wife about interacting with a certain individual, she goes ahead and is stira with him. She doesn't just interact with him, but she's actually secluded. She has yichud with this individual for amount of time, right, that could bring her in suspicion that something more than just talking happened in this area, right? That's the amount of time that you have for stira, that she was alone or secluded with this individual. Once we have kinui with stira, then we look for what's called tuma, and tuma can come into different forms. One is that we have edim, that something actually transpired. If that happens, then there's nothing to deal with sota, because already we know that something transpired. So that happens when we lack those eight day tuma, when we lack the ability to know what really happened. We have kinui stira, we don't know. So now we have a different judgment process. Rather than edim and beis din who deal with these issues, we go to the ultimate judge. We go to Hashem, right, to see or to clarify what happened, and that's what's called the mei sota. And the drinking of the sota water is in order to deal with this issue. Now, to be, you have to be careful. And I think this is what connects the beginning of Sota to the end of Nazir, is that it's not just Tom, everybody, that we have a Sota, and she drinks water, and something happens, and this is a horrible thing. You have to know that there is Raglayim Ladavar here. We have a problem. It's not simply that this woman is innocent, and therefore, her husband's dragging her up to the Mikdash. What we had over here was Kinoi, her husband warned her. But it's not even more important. She was Soter, Stirah. She was secluded with another man for a period of time that brings her under suspicion. That seclusion, that yichud, was something that brings Raglayim Ladavar, brings us into a point, but there is suspicion with this woman. And it's not that she's totally innocent. And again, all the Mishnayot at the end of Nazir, the last part of Nazir, dealt with things that are Raglayim Ladavar, that have other overwhelming evidence that there's an issue here. Same thing with Sota. There is overwhelming evidence that there might be an issue here, or there's at least a problem at hand, and therefore when we bring her up to the Mikdash, it's already under a cloud of suspicion or a cloud of Raglayim Ladavar. Alright, that's just the two quick pieces of background, and we'll go, we'll start the Masechta. Again, the Gemara itself is going to ask a couple of the questions that we asked. They don't deal with the issues or the topics that we dealt with, but we'll see a little bit about why Sota is found here. Amakaneli Shto, Right? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Mekane Alau Pishnayim. So we just talked about this kinoy, this warning that the husband gives to his wife. Rabbi Elazar says that it must be done in the context of two edim. Umashkeh al pied achat. But she does not have to be secluded with another individual with two edim, but rather only by one aid. Oh, al pied smo, or by his testimony. Shomer, that Rabbi Shua says it's a requirement of two edim, both for the kinoy and for the stira, both for the warning that the husband gives, as well as the evidence that she was secluded with this individual. So Ketzan Mikanele, how does he create this kinoy? How does he warn his wife? Omer la bifnei shnayim, says before two edim, according to right, both opinions that require two edim, al tidabri im ish ploni, do not speak to this individual. V'dibra imo, right, and then she speaks to him. So now, is that enough? That's not sufficient. She's still mutar to her husband, and she's still mutar to eat truma. She's a kohen and married to a kohen, then she can still eat truma. Meaning that her simply speaking with this individual is not enough. I mean, he warns her not to speak with this individual. Her speaking to this individual is not the problem. The problem comes when she is then secluded. She goes into a secluded area with him, and she remains there in that secluded. The amount of time that she could have right, perpetrated some illegal act, then asura le beita, asura le kol betruma, then she is asur to return to her husband at that point, and she cannot eat truma until, obviously, she drinks the mesoka and has this clarified. Vimate, and if her husband passes away, choletet below mitzia bemet, then she can no longer be brother of the one who warned her, and she then was soter against. He cannot marry her, he cannot perform yibum with her, but rather chalitza, because we're not even sure if this marriage would have been sustained. We're not sure if this marriage would have continued, because if she had gone up to the mikdash, she might have admitted to a problem, or she might have not been willing to drink the mesota, which would ask her to her husband. If she's asur to her husband, then there's no reason to perform yibum over here. We'll see that a bit more later. Right. I think that it's more the general context that she's spending a little too much time with this individual, and his warning not to speak with him is not literally the issue of speaking, but rather let's not spend so much time with this other individual, because in the end, that's what ends up happening is that speaking leads to the seclusion.
Right. I don't know if it's me with Egan Ross. You think that he would say, like, don't spend time with it. Even that same thing to be
right. I think, well, contextually in their time, that and culturally, that speaking with other men was not a common practice, and I think speaking with another man was already a step in the direction of being secluded with that man. I mean, that just wasn't considered appropriate.
Rohan is the Beres in Suvis, right? Rohan is the Beres. It's a kinoy for
hanging out, you know.
Right. Alright, Michtei, Tanami Nazir Salik, right? We added Nazir, right? And we're now dealing with Soda. My Tana the Katana Sota. So why, after Nazir, does Sota come? So that's the question of here. Why is Sota come after Nazir? And that's true also in the, right, in the Parshiyot Torah, right? That we have Nazir and Sota that are juxtaposed. So why? Because Kidra Rabbi. We had this again in the beginning of Nazir. We also had the exact same thing. But like Rabbi's statement that, why are they juxtaposed, the parshiyot of Nazir to the parshiyot of Sotah, lomar lecha shekol haro'eh sotah b'kikula yazir atzmo min hayayin, whoever sees a sotah in her kikula, in her denigrated state, yazir atzmo min hayayin, he would automatically want to repel, or you know, meaning that he will automatically want to take himself away from wine, because the belief that wine, right, harba yayin gorim, that's one of the things we say to the sota when she's up there, when before they drink, give her the mesota drink, is made, you know, wine causes these things. You know, that these are the types of, this is the goreim for such behavior, and therefore this person's going to be, oh my gosh, I can't drink wine, he's going to pull away from it. So now, I always say over here, something that I heard from the Rosh Hashiva and Karen Biyatna, but the question is, if Rabbi's point is that right, that's the natural reaction. The natural reaction to seeing a sotah b'kukula is the yazir atzmo min hayayin. Then, if that's the case, then why juxtapose the two parshiyot? You know, why is Sota and Nazir juxtaposed? The limud from them being juxtaposed is that, right, if you see a Sota, you are going to be a person who's Nazir at the moment Ayayin. But if that is a natural reaction, if it's naturally, right, repulsive, and a person wouldn't drink the wine, why do you need the Torah to put these two parshiyot together to teach you that, you know, Kol Res and Sota Bikul Kula, right, Nazir at the moment Ayayin? It seems like psychologically it would have been the natural outcome, even if he did put the parshiyot together. So, I heard b'shem the Rosh Yeshiva, the old Rosh Yeshiva of Karen B'Yavna, that if you naturally, a lot of times when something happens in a person's life, whether good or bad, and a person then at that point in time says, you know what, there's the heat, we call it the heat of the moment, but also, or the inspiration of the moment. A person's inspired, something amazing happens, and they're inspired, or something bad happens, and a person says, you know, to Hashem, calls out, or screams out to Hashem, and says, you know, I will do this and this, or I'll do this and this, because they want the help from Hashem. So there is this type of natural reaction when a person is a b'mitzuka, a person sees something that is either inspiring to them or repulsive to them, they have natural reactions that draw them possibly closer to Hashem. But what's the natural state of a human being is that as time passes, that inspiration sort of, right, peters out, dissolves, you don't feel it as much anymore. And that's the feelings that you had at that moment are no longer with you. And it's very hard to then carry on or to maintain that level of inspiration or that level of ruchaniyut that was generated at the moment. So what's the importance of Nazir? The importance of Nazir is that Stam Nazirut is for 30 days. I mean that the idea of the juxtaposition of the parshiyot is not simply that, okay, a person sees Sotabi Kukula, he's here tomorrow and say, aye, he'll be naturally repulsed from wine. How long would that last? A couple of days, a week, 2 weeks, but as that goes, it drops down. The idea of Nazir is that even for a persistent amount of time, a person is Nazir Tzomin Ayayin, that the ability to maintain that inspiration and continue that inspiration beyond what would be the natural level, that's what the juxtaposition of the parshiyos teaches you, that you have to somehow capitalize on the inspiration, not only for the moment or for the couple of days afterwards, but capitalize on that to be able to maintain that higher level of inspiration. And how do you do that? Well, the one of the possibilities is Yetzirat Zman Me'ayayin. You impose upon yourself an extended, right, inspiration moment. But that's a lesson in life, that how whenever we get into these situations, that when we get that inspiration, we have to not only think or have something that's momentary, but take that with the rest of our lives, incorporate that, right, internalize and incorporate that so that it is maintained or sustained beyond the moment of inspiration. All right, so now, what does it have to do here? What's our Gemara here? So now we have the Sota comes after Nazir. So great, Sota comes after Nazir. Now, V'litnei Sota, V'hada litnei Nazir. Well, if that's the case, put Sota first, and then Nazir. Because the idea is that the Nazir is a reaction to the Sota. Why do you have an answer? So Gemara says, I need the Tanakh two boats, the Tanakh HaMadir. So because we had the Masechet Ketubot, inside of the Masechet Ketubot, you have a parak called Parak HaMadir. So then that was talking about Nidarim in the context of, right, a man and a wife. Therefore, the Tanakh moved on to Nidarim. But I need the Tanakh Nidarim, Tanakh Nazir, the Rami Lindarim, the Dami Lindarim. And afterwards, Nidarim, Nazir, as we've mentioned many times, is a subset of the parsha of Nidarim. So therefore, the Tana, once he was already on to Nidarim, dealt with Nazir. Right? And then, Uktani Sota, Kidarabi. And therefore, then, when they got through with Nidarim and Nazir, they added in Sota because of the issue of Rabi. So the Rishonim point this out, not necessarily here, but they pointed out in Nidarim and a little bit in Nazir, that there are actually two questions here. There's one question is, why is Nazir, and even possibly the Sota found in Nashim. But it really belongs in Kodshim. Right? Nazir is really a din in Kodshim and should belong in Kodshim. The same question we asked in the Torah, what's it doing in Bamidbar? It should really be in Torah Kohanim. Meaning that why is Nazir, maybe even Sota, and found in the Seder Nashim? It should be found in Seder Kodshim. In the Darim, at least you can understand that the main theme of the Parsha is Ibn Abubito and Ishli Shoh. Meaning that the main context in which Nadarim is taught is in the case of a family relationship. So it makes sense that it's in Seder Nashim. But Nazir and Sota really don't even belong in Seder Nashim. So the Gemara is trying to answer two questions. One question is, what are they doing in Seder Nashim? And the second question they're trying to answer is, okay, once we establish that they should be in Seder Nashim, what order should they be in Seder Nashim? And so that's what the the Gemara is answering, addressing both issues. Why are they in Seder? Why are they in Seder?
Seder say it belongs in Seder and Jew.
Possibly, right. I think it has more than Nazir. Right. Much more so. Much more so than Nazir, but still, we know from the Sefer Bamidbar that it really feels like it belongs in Torah Kohanim. It belongs, there's a lot of Kutchim involved here, and a lot of Mikdash and Mishkan and Kohen involved. Alright, but now, so why are they found in Seder Nashim?
So the reason for that is found in, actually in the beginning of Nazir. In the beginning of Nazir it says, right, Tana Nazir, Tana Kraikoi is going on the Psukim, Bayai lo tutsachim beinav, if she doesn't find favor in his eyes, ki matzah ba'er batavar, because he found him with the er, a batavar. What's the cause for the er batavar that causes a problem in a marriage? Vaki kamar, mi gerav la la'avira, yayin, what causes the problem in a marriage? Wine. Wine is the cause, and therefore Nazir is shayach to Seder Nashim because of the restrictions of wine that come out of Nazir are the things that protect a person or stop a person from having the problems of Ervat Davar.
Now, what about the order? Right, again, the order has to do with, all right, we had two votes, then we had the Perek Nidarim, then we have, right, Nidarim, then we have Nazir subset, and then we have the connection from Rabbi that Sota and Nazir have some connections together, therefore we drove Sota together with Nazir. So we address both why are they found in Seder Nashim and not in Seder Kodshim, but also what is the order that they're found in Seder Nashim, even though we have a general principle, Gemara quotes in other places, that there is no Seder to the Mishnah. We don't necessarily mean, we never necessarily have generally we don't believe that the Mishnayot are necessarily in order. Maybe they could be out of order, or they can be out of...
You can ask these types of questions on brachos. Brachos is connected to karbanos, so why is that adding? Or you can ask the question of tumos and maestros, why is that in Zeroyim? You know,
so it's true.
Why that should be in Kutchin too.
Well, you can't ask that question. So either the Gemara asks it, or if he doesn't, the Rambam in his parish, right, does address why these mesechtas are put in these orders. Generally, the mesechtas are found in size order, right? That's what they've done, their descending order of size. But why they're found in whatever mesechta, what they move around the Rambam in every mesechta, every seder, gives an introduction that talks about or has an introduction on why they say or why these things are found here and what the order has to do with. The Gemara in some places like here addresses why it's found here. Other places it doesn't address it, and the Rambam does address it. Alright, so now we're getting into a little more Agadita, just to whet our appetite for the Agadita that's going to come up in the rest of Sota, and then we'll move into the core themes of Sota. The next Gemara says, Amikaneh di'abedin b'chatzila lo. Sounds like Amikaneh is not that they should be Mikaneh, but one who does Mikaneh, one who does warn his wife. Not that you should warn your wife. Rashi over here says that it's because he could have written it in a different way. He should have said, Rabbi Lezer Omer, you know, that you could have made the statement differently. The fact that it starts with Hamikaneh means it sounds like already that we're in a B'dievet state. Why is it, right? Why is that the case? So it says, Kasavra Tanadidan Asur Likanaot. Alright, so that our Tana believes that you're not supposed to do kino. You're not supposed to warn your wife. This is not a good thing. Right? This is something that if you do it, this is the process to get out of it, or this is the process that must be held. But we do not encourage this type of behavior. I'm Rav Shmuel by Rabbi Yitzchak, Kiyava Potach, Reish Lakish Besota, when Reish Lakish used to open up his shirim on Masech Sefer Zotar Mahachi, Aim, Mizavgin, Lola Adam, Isha, Lefi, Ma'asav. A person only gets a shidduch, right, according to his actions, meaning that which is right. Shenamar ki lo yanuach shevet Russia Russia al gorala tzaddikim. Right, that means that the Russia and the tzaddik will not get together. That means that you find the one who is appropriate for the tzaddik will be for the tzaddik, the one who is appropriate for the Russia will be for the Russia. Meaning that one's actions, one's chuyot, determine what his shidduch is going to be. So now Gemara says, So is Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. The kashin l'shavkan can create yamsuf, right? The famous statement that it is kashet. They bring it together. These types of zivugim is as hard as splitting the sea. Why is that? Shenemar Elokim Moshiv Yechidim Baita Motzi Asirim B'Kosharot. Right. So in Tehillim, it says over there that Hashem Moshiv Yechidim takes those that are over here. Yechidim necessarily mean singles. So that's why the Gemara is interpreting it here means singles. Over there means that the ones that are despondent or left alone, over there in the context of Tehillim, it seems to be talking about Yitomim, talking about orphans that are left alone, and finds them baita, brings them homeward, meaning finds them mishpacha, finds them family. So here the Gemara is interpreted that to be Yechidim. Those that are single, Hashem finds baita, brings them together to form a home. So he takes out those that are in prison, big kosher roads. The kosher roads here, it's not clear. This word is not, I was looking it up before, but kosher roads is a word that's not found in Tanakh. It's a singular word. And the kosher roads over here in the context seems to come from the word shir, right? But with song. He takes out those that are imprisoned with song. And then the actual pasuk continues, which we don't have the rest of the pasuk. He says that he leaves the Rishayim, he places them, or lets them, he lets them waste away in the desert. That's the second last part of the puzzle. So that's why. So the Gemara says, "Halukim Moshe Yechidim Baita," take singles, brings them together to form family. That is like taking the prisoners out in song. So where did they? Where were prisoners taken out in song? And actually, if you include the other part of the puzzle, which is and leaves the Rishayim in the desert, right? Is that? That's it. That's what Sashan says here is Yitzias Mitzrayim, where they create the Yamsuf, right? And then they came through, and the Jews were singing, and the Mitzrayim were right in drowning or left in the desert in their right left to rot. Alright, so now as Mark says, challenges us, Edie, this really true. Right, Ploni. So before a person, 40 days before a Vlad is created, right, so this is even before conception, then a Batkol goes out and says, this person will be married to this person, right, stay Ploni, Leploni, this field is to this person, and bite, right, this house goes to this house. So, sounds like everything is predetermined. If it's all predetermined, especially with the Zibugim, then what is this idea that there are zukuyot that are influencing? Seems to be a stira between these two. I'll just point out here, Tosfos mentions over here that when it says this before you choose a bride, about koyo says it says bat ploni leploni, it's only talking about the males, the scharim, because otherwise you'd have a problem, right? Right, because if they're not born yet, it's meaning that there's not, you could have a female and a male that are born at different times, meaning that either older or younger. And when you say ben bat ploni leploni, right, it could be, he says over here, near l'rab, he called him in tears as a chak. Whether she's born or not, but that's what the Baskel goes out before the Zachar to say which woman will be the appropriate Zivug for this individual. I mean, it could be said either way. It doesn't really matter, but the possibility is that they don't exist or they don't coexist at the same time. If you say it's via the Vlad, that Batkoni Batkoni may not even exist yet, in a sense. But the fact is that this race talks about.
So what?
Right. Exactly, in the future. So it's all, this is predetermined. This is a very, based on, there's a very, very important Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah in the Masechet Brachot, which deals with this this issue. He says that at the time that the conception of the Vlad, this here is Abraham Yom Kodim of Vlad, but even there, the Gemara Nidda says that at the time that the conception of the Vlad, it says Tipazu, right, there'll be Tzadik, or Ashat, Ashir, or Ani, all these things are determined at the point of conception. So there, the Rabbeinu Yonah says something important. He says that if a person wants to daven for their children, they should daven before conception. Meaning that if all this stuff is going to be determined at the time of conception, then it's... The Gemara in Bracha says it's tefillah shop once the baby's already conceived. So if you want to have tefillah, the tefillah should precede the conception and not post-conception. And he uses that to interpret the Gemara. The Gemara there says that a person should have his bed between the north and south. So all the Rishonim are there trying to understand, what does the Gemara mean? North to south? Oh, it's irrelevant to the Mishkan, and it's a reference to the Mishkan, and it's a parable, Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, it has nothing to do with about the bed being north or south. North and south has to do with the menorah and the shulchan, which are representing the Mishkan of Osher and Chachma. And all the Gemara is trying to do is remind you, before, you know, your bed is north and south, to remind you what? That before you have passions, before you conceive the child, daven on that child, daven that which is going to happen, because it's all predetermined. You want to have your tefillah get accepted before conception. After davening afterwards, it takes a lot more effort. and it possibly is, the Gemara there says in Brachot, maybe it's Tfilat Shav. So worthwhile to daven beforehand. That's
what we're getting at.
Right, so this is the 40 days right here. It says 40 days. The Gemara Nida says Tipa Zu. When it's talking about conception, it says that Tipa Zu Ashir Varash, the Dikman of Prison. This is about Shiduchim, but the other Gemara deals with even other issues. So now.
Yeah, this is more expansively in the beginning sentence, so right?
Yeah, the Gemara is found in a number of places. Rashi here references or makes a veiled reference to the problem with this Gemara, which is a Kol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'Yiras HaShemayim. So how is it, if everything's predetermined, what type of Bechira Chavshit do you have? So Rashi deals with it by saying, oh, it says a Kol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'Yiras HaShemayim. So that's left out. That's left out of the picture. Everything else is predetermined, but the Yiras HaShemayim is the thing that's not predetermined, and that's what gives you Bechira Chavshit. Rashi here makes a veiled reference to that, of trying to reconcile these issues, much bigger issues. Most of the Shemayim deal with it in the last part in Shabbos, in the last couple of Tafin Shabbos there, when it talks about Mazel A, Mazel Yisrael, and also about that Mazel Lot affect a person's life, and then that they're going to be determined by their Mazel. All right, we won't deal with it here, but...
Good on the predetermined route to resolve the issue of a husband and wife being a different age, then at the same time, you're getting rid of the steer between the idea of the two things that come up in the conflict there, which is...
Sechuyot and
sechuyot,
yeah, but even if you say they're 2 years apart, at 2 years old, I can't imagine that we're really looking after sechuyot in terms of the thing. But the Gemara deals with it a different way, which is even more difficult. Gemara says lo kasha. He says no problem. Habazivu grishon, habazivu sheni. That's his first marriage and second marriage. That's what it sounds like here, and that's the way Rashi interprets it. That your first marriage is how you take mazal, is it predetermined, and the second marriage is lefi ma'asav, according to his actions. I mean, let's see myself. Why is this so difficult? Listen, this is the Tosfos Shantz over here. I'll just read you the Tosfos Shantz. He says, over here, Suk Shani. Well, first of all, he says over here, Suk Shani applies to Amon La Mana, only when it's a widow and a widower. About Bechorsh Nasa Mana, or Ibchabik Mosibu Grishon. But if at least one of them has not been married before, that is still considered like a Mosibu Grishon. But the problem, what's the issue over here? What is Hashem? What's all the work that Hashem has to do to create the Amsuf? So, The fact is that he has to go, I'm trying to find it here, that he has to go up and he has to knock off another guy, or he has to get someone else out of their house. I mean, that he has to do all these things in order to orchestrate, right, this type of marriage over here. I mean, that it's not simply, you know, oh, here we have two single people that are going to get married. It's possibly that when you have a Zibuk Shani and this person is now single after they've been married, Hashem has to now go find them a Zibuk. He might have to, you know, might have to create another Amonah somewhere else. He might have to create an Amon somewhere else. He has to orchestrate a huge plan in order to get two people together in the Zibuk Shani.
That's a good reason to pray for other people's marriages.
Right. So obviously the... Alright, so obviously there are two things here. One is that Reish Lakish opened the Masechta to say that a Zibug is, right, not the Masechta, but a Zibug is Min HaShamayim. That a person, Zibug is from HaShamayim, and therefore when there, you know, when there are issues and stuff like that, that there's a strong, right, preference for dealing with those issues and trying to straighten out those issues, because that is Zibug Rishon, which promises, which was already predetermined, and therefore we have a strong preference to deal with him. The Gemara, we saw this in the Darim, and it says that if a couple gets divorced, then the Mizbeah, right, cries over that, or some cries over that Zibug being lost. And that we take seriously trying to preserve, not that that's done at any cost, but we do take it seriously to preserve it. And that the difficulty when we don't have Zibug Rishon work out is Zibug Shani is as hard as Kriyat Yamsuf to go and reconcile afterwards. So we really would prefer Zibug Rishon works out than have to have the Zibug Shani be the priority or the needs to straighten things out.
It's a very nice idea there from the Be'er Sheva that the zibug gets declared in giant is the ideal zibug for a person. And man, based on the concept, his mindset makes it worthy, so he'll get that ideal zibug. But if not, someone else will get that woman, and he'll have a less suitable zibug.
Right. Very good. Very nice. Very nice.
That doesn't sit well. That doesn't sit well with your drasha about working out problems.
Right, right. Right, so here, I just go to the Rabbeinu Tam, to say, Ramar Rabbeinu Tam, Perish, Medami, Le, Tziat, Mitzrayim, Bekriyat, Yam Suf. Why is it compared to them? Shibote, Yan, Shetova, Karsh, Baruch, Let's, Mitzrayim, Beyam, Kedil, Hatzil, Let's, Yisrael. But the same action that saved Bnei Yisrael also killed out Mitzrayim. And Hashem was had to orchestrate this whole thing in the Yam Suf. Kmo, Horeg, Vala, Shalzeb, Ishtel, Shalzeb, is to knock off this husband over here, and this wife over there, Messiah, Mazelzeb, in order to get them together. I mean, that they have, Hashem has to take all these actions in order to, right, orchestrate this Zivug Sheni Kamari. We're talking about Zivug Sheni. And therefore, the difficulty in bringing them together is equivalent to that Kriya Yamsuf, where Hashem has to orchestrate a big plan in order to deal with different parties and bring them together. All right, now, here we go. Imtza Sota, Kor Sota. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Mikane Lea Pishnayim. Right, so what does that mean? Adkan Lo Pligi Ela Bikunu Viskira. Our mission only addresses two of the three problems that we spoke about. What's that? Kinoi, Sira, and then Tumah, which our mission does not deal with. Our mission deals with the machlokas about Kinoi, everybody agrees, 280. Sira, the machlokas, whether they need 2 or 180. But when it comes to Tumah, nobody mentions anything. So where does that seem to imply? Sounds like that when you have 1 8 by the Tumah, that would be enough. Enough to do what? Right? Enough that he's believed that you wouldn't drink, you wouldn't have her drink to make Sota. If you have 1 8 testifying that she was together with this individual, meaning that they did have Tashmish together, and she had an illicit relationship, then that'd be enough to, first of all, ask her on Gala, but also to not need to do, lose her Ksuba, but also not to drink Mesota. Just to your point, Yossi, that our mission does not deal with Ksuba at all. Meaning that the, and the Rosh Hashanah points it out here, that we don't, this mission does not deal with the Mamonas issue. It's not about the monetary issue, it's just simply the Isurim issue, because you could have included that in the list of the mission. What happens to her? She's also Betruma, she's also Lebeta, but she also loses her Ksuba. Right? But that's not mentioned.
For that, because either if she drinks it, she dies, or they come back together.
Well, but what happens if she's Eram by Tumah?
Or she doesn't want to drink.
Hey, if she refuses, she can refuse to drink. If she refuses to drink, she deserves Ksuba. She can refuse to drink, or in this case, where you have Eram Ba, that she says that there is Tumah here, then
how do you ask the woman to drink? He doesn't want her to drink.
I don't know. We'll see that's later on. The husband does have influence on the drink, but maybe only because of his behavior too. Alright, I will do my Ephod. Alright, Tanad, Nami, hey, Ephod Omer, and Ere, Itishnit, mate, Loita Shota. Right, so we have that in our Mishnah further on. That if you have 1 8 that tells you that she was Nitmate, she doesn't drink. So Gemara says, Mido, right? So I mean, Alan's a Nam and 8 Ephod. Since when is an 8 Ephod Naman? Is that really true? Where do we have it then an 8 Ephod Naman? The Tanra, but on the 8 Ba, right? Our parsha and Sota, it says, what? When does she drink? Right? When there's 8 Ba. When there is no 8. How many 8 are we talking about? When it says 8 Ba, what does that mean? Katim Medaber, Oeno El Afilu Bechot, right? Was that Bishnaima called the mayor? Is it talking about 2 Adim? Or is it talking about a 1? Tama Lomar, throughout the, when the Torah says, Lo Yakum Erechad Beish, right? It says, Lo Yakum Echad. Why did it have to modify the word aid to say Echad? Aid is singular, right? So why did it modify the word aid with the word Echad? That implies that what does aid mean in other places? It means 2, because it modified it by Echad. That's what it says. Mimash, Mashinema, Lo Yakum Erechad Beish. Any of the issue Echad? Of course they know that it's Echad. That teaches you that the word aid by itself means 2, until the Torah otherwise tells you that aid means 1. Because here it said aid echad. Right? That means that otherwise aid would mean shnayim. So now, let's ba elachad. But he, so now what are you going to say over here? Now he said aid ain ba. Now what do you have over here? Eight ain't ba, that should sound like the word eight means 2 everywhere else. It sounds like she doesn't have 2 8 in, but she has what? 8 ba, she has 1 8.
Now the puzzle continues and says, Behilo nitpatsa, and that she wasn't forced, and that she is asura. So what are we going to learn now? We learned by Sota that 8 ain't ba, if there's no 8 here, meaning 2 8 dim are not here, but 1 8 is here, then she's asura. She's asura la bala, she's asura la chobe truma, she loses her tuba, and she does not drink the mesota. So from the word aid, which we know in Kol HaTorah Kula means 2, and when it says over here by Sota, aid ain't ba, that there aren't 2 here, but 1 is here, 1 is sufficient to make it her asura. Now the Gemara is going to challenge this point that we really needed the Kol HaTorah Kula, this word aid, Echad to teach us that Eid means two. Because what if you would have thought by Sotel? Time it yichtiv lo yikumer echad bi'ish. Because the Pasuk says lo yikumer echad bi'ish. And therefore we learn the word Eid in Kol HaTorah Kulo means shnayim. Halav halchi hava amina. What do I have thought the word Eid by Sota means? Eid the Sota chadu. I would have thought the word Eid by Sota means one Eid. So now, how are you going to read the Pasuk? Ve'eid ain't ba. One Eid is not there. Ve'init pasa, and she's a surah. But if there's not even one Eid there, Elabai Mitzvah, how did she become a sur? Meaning that, of course, the word Eid by Sota means two Eidim, because if you say it means one Eid, then what are you going to say? There's no Eid here, and then she's a sur? How did she become a sur? So when it says, no, it's true, Chsaka Dab Chamin, I would have thought Eid ain't ba. Eid ain't ba means Eneman ba. Eid means one Eid. And Ein Ba means that he's not believed by her, that one Eid is not believed. So the Gemara says, Ein Ne'eman Ba, one Eid is not believed here, Elamai. So then what's the conclusion? But my boy, what do you need? Adi Katrei, that you need two Eidim. If you need two Eidim, Lishto Kraminei, why do you need a Pasuk at all? Dati Advar Dvar Mi Mamon. I could have learned that Exer Shabbat from Mamon. V'ani Adana Mitadava Kol Eidiyot Shvetorah, just like by all other Eidus in the Torah that we require two, so too by Sota we would require two. Because what does it say by Sota? It says, Tiba no effet, ki matzaba erbat davar. Right? So by no effet, someone who has an illicit relationship, one who is engaged in his relationship, says that matzaba erbat davar. Right? And by Dine Mamonos, it says, Apish neidim yakum davar. So there, just like by Eidos, by Mamonos, we know that it requires two Eidim. So too by Sota, we'd have known that it requires two Eidim. So why do I need a special pasuk here by Sota to teach me that you need two Eidim? Where it says, no, it's true. I do need a special pasuk by Sota. Why? Salka dat chamino. I would have thought that Sota shiny. Sota's different from other Eidiyot Shabbat Torah. Why? Because there's overwhelming evidence here that there's a problem. Shari kine lo. He warned her. Vinistero. And then she was secluded to him. But Hemin ba erechad. I would have thought by Sota it was enough. One aid would be sufficient. Since there's already overwhelming evidence of a problem, therefore I know already to, I know enough already to say that one aid will be sufficient over here. And that's why we need a special limud or a special pasutishas aid and neman ba. One aid is not believed with her. So now the Gemara is still at this point believes that the word aid, had I not had the psukim from outside the Torah, I would have believed the word aid by Sota means one. And why does it mean one? One comes to teach me. One is not believed, but two are believed. Ah, why do I need you to teach me that? Kol HaTorah Kula, we know that you need two aidim. So why is it different by Sota? Well, I would have thought I would have a Havim, you know, that's different by Sota, because I have Raglaim Latavar by Sota, because it was Kini Lavin Istira, and therefore one aid would have been sufficient. The Torah comes out of its way and says, no, one's not sufficient, you need two. Can you really read the pasuk that it says that one aid is not believed to be shariyah, and therefore she is muteret? If you say what that she was, the next line, the next words in the pasukim are, she wasn't forced. Michal da sura. So how do you read the pasuk now? It says aid ain ba. There is no one aid with her, and then she is, and therefore he is not nemenet, and she is a sura. Well, it sounds like when you say Dein Ba, it's not Neman, that she is Muteret. And then the Pasuk continues and says that she is Asura. So Gemara says, no, it's true. I need it this way. Saka, that's coming Ein Ba, Dika Trey. No, I don't believe him until there are two. Uba Trey Nami, he, the lo nit pasa. And when there are two, what? Then it would be lo nit pasa, she'd be Asura. So when you have two, she's a surah. When there's one, she'd be Naman. So Kamashman is that we learn from the other psukim that throughout the Torah, aid means two aidim. And therefore, when it says aid ain ba here, it means there aren't two aidim, but there is one aid. And that one aid is the Hino that Pasa makes her a surah. So without that limud from Rest Kolar Torah Kurula, I would have believed that the word aid here means one aid. And one aid means one aid is believed. Two aidim. One aid is not believed. And Naman ba. Two aidim are believed. And that's what makes her a surah. Comes along the limud from lo yakum eid echad b'ish and teaches that eid throughout the Torah means two eidim. And therefore when it says eid ain ba here, it means two eidim aren't here, but one eid is. And one eid is believed over here. And that's the Kamash Malan. Then one eid is sufficient to make her hasura in this case.
Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mikana Lao Pishnaya. So he needs two Eidim over here. My time is Rabbi Yeshua. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yeshua? Amar Kra, Ba, right? The Pasuk says that he has to, Mikana Ba, right? So the Pasuk says over here, the very Ish, he can stay so, Ma'ala Bo Ma'al, Vishkav Yishol Tav, Vishkav Zer, Vinela Mene Isha, Vinistara, Vinit Ma'al, Ve'eid Ein Ba, right? Ve'ilon Yitmaskar, Ba'alar Allah, Ruach, Kina, Now, these are the kinoi that is coming over here. But it says over here, "Bishchavi shalvash kavazera nelam ena yishav nistari nitma be'ed ein ba." There's no eight over here. Ba. So what does that mean? Amar krab ba ba below the kinoi. There's no edut about the tuma, but there is two edim about the kinoi. Ba. There's no edus about the tuma, but there is ba below the stira. But there is edus about the stira. According to this, Rabbi Yeshua believes that what? Both the kinoi and the stira require two edim. The lack of edim is only apparent by what? The elam and ishab and nistarbi nitma'ah. It's only the nitma'ah part that there's missing the edim. But for the stira and the kinoi, there are edim. So there is a requirement of two edim, both for the warning and for the stira. Blazomer ba below the kinoi. Now, the requirement for two edim is only about kinoi. But because it says ba, there was no edus about the tuma, but there was edus about the kinoi. Fame above below the stira. What are you going to say about that? It was yes, but not by stira. Stira ikish l'tuma. No, you can't say that. Why? Because the stira is ikish l'tuma. What does the pasuk say? It says ben nistira v'hi nitme'a. She was secluded and became tamei. So there's a parallel between stira and tuma. Dichtiv nistira v'hi nitme'a. Kinoi nami ikish l'tuma. Dichtiv v'kinei tishto v'hi nitme'a. Right. So there's also a hekish over there. So by says hami rachman abba. You have a meal. To both. So my raita. So why did you include? So you have kinoi and stira. Both of them have a hekesh to tuma, and you also have an exclusion of both. So now, how do you balance between them? So he says, no, Rabbi Elazar says, no problem. I'll tell you how I balance between them. I balance between them and says what? That by one of them I will say you require edim, and one of them I will not require edim. That means by kinoi I require edim, and by stira I do not require edim, or two edim. Why is that? So why did he pick that? So my wife says, mishtabra, stira adifa. Stira is better. Why? Shkin ostrata kituma. Because it functions like tuma. It makes her osir to her bow, just like tuma. If she becomes tuma, if she did perform with edim, that she performed a illicit relationship, or she was involved in a illicit relationship, she's osir to her husband. So too, if we have a nistara, if she's secluded with an under individual after the warning of her husband, she's also to her husband over here. So when I say that, the rabbi kino yadid, let's say the warning is more. Why? She can't eat our garamah. That's what caused the whole problem over here, was that he warned her. So when I says ilach sira kino meika, without seclusion, the warning isn't meaningful. So when I says ilach kino sira mayahani, without a warning, then seclusion doesn't do anything either. So when I says ilach sira deepa. That's out of the tuma. He stira is better because it begins the tuma. It begins the process of the isura, or the beginning of the tuma. I mean, it's the beginning of this illicit relationship that's going to take place. Where it says, Masisan Deloki Aitan. Our Mishnah is not like this. Dine at the time, you have a braisa. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudo, Mir Mishim, Rabbi Eliezer. Hamekaneli Shto, Mekanea Pi Eidechad. That he does kina with 1/8. O Alpiatmo, Umashkela Pi Shnaim. And he gives her to drink on 2, meaning that the stira comes with 2. So now, according to this preposition, Rabbi Eliezer switched around. According to this braisa, switched around. Rabbi Eliezer, our Mishnah says you need 2 aidim for the kinoi and nothing for the stira. Whereas according to the braisa, he requires no edim for the kinoi, but 2 edim for the right to the stira. And she will come in with the beer, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, in the bar sof. Based on this, there is no end to this situation. What does that mean? My time up for Rabbi Yosef. Right, my time. What does it mean? In the bar sof. So there are 2 possibilities. Either that everybody, after you have stira, after the fact, the guy will say that there's kinoi. I warned her. And we have no agent to that because he doesn't need agent. He can say, I warned her. Right? He says, she was in Yichud, and he'll say, I warned her. So then everybody can make, you can make all these sotas all the time, because as soon as you have seclusion, you can go and say, I gave her a warning already. Right? Without any evidence of that. That's one. Because the shots over here adds even that, what? It's going to be mostly lives on the May sota. Because what's going to happen? Everybody, their guy's going to say, oh, I warned her. They're going to take her off Peter. This is the May sota. It's not going to work. Why won't it work? Because he never really did warn her. Right? It's going to be in the dumb soap. You're going to end up with all these soaps that's drinking, and it's not working.
In the dumb soap, it's not going to come to a conclusion.
Right. Well, that, right. In the dumb soap, or it's not, there's going to be no benefit. There's not going to be functional benefit to the Mesota anymore. So Gemara says, my time is the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah. So what? How does Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah explain this position of Rabbi Eliezer? I'm going to call it Ba. Ba below Stira. Right? So he uses the view that we didn't use, which is Ba, and not by Stira. Name of Ba below Kinoi. Why not exclude Kinoi? So Gemara says, kinoi ifgish to tuma, like we saw above, kinoi has a hekdish to tuma, dechtiv, kinoi ifgish to tuma, it's me'ah. Sirinami ifgish to tuma, it's the same question we had in our Mishnah, right, that the other issue has, and the other kinoi or sir, whichever one you don't learn, is also ifgish to tuma, dechtiv, nish the rabbi, it's me'ah. How will the kama shiur stira? Right, that comes to teach you. And this Rabbi Yitna Me'ah tells you how much is a shiur stira? How much is yichud? Yichud is a tumahu, right? The amount of time to perform the illicit relationship. Data. A shiva chachamim the divrei Rabbi Yosef in the davar sof. My meal. What does this mean? The in the davar sof. The shim in the lo kani. Here, sometimes you won't warn her. Vamar kanai. Right, and he said, I did do it. So Mar says, halu mishnah deino yesh lo davar sof. Implicit in that, Christ says that our mission does have a self. Why? Zimlin lo yistar, b'amar yistatar. Why do you say that our mission has a self? Why is it our mission the same problem? Because what, the warner in front of Tuwaitin, and afterwards she will go and then be secluded without anybody being there, or, I mean, she won't be secluded, and the husband will say she was secluded. Right? He doesn't have to bring any evidence of that. He doesn't have to bring any agent for that. So I'm Rabbi Yosef by Yosef, Rabbi Yochan, af, le divrei Rabbi Yosef, by Yudah, and le davar sof. So af, meaning that af, le divrei Rabbi Yosef, by Yudah, right? Velo mi bai, le mishnatenu. Meaning af in the brisa, even in the brisa, there's a problem in le davar sof, but also in our Mishnah. Where it says, adraba, the mishnatenu ika ikar, our Mishnah makes more sense, but that there is le davar sof, because at least he started with something. There was a warning over here. He had to aid him that he gave her kinoi, and therefore she knows to watch out for this. But in what? I'm like a Ikar. In the case of the Brisa, she doesn't even know not to be secluded with this guy. She never warned him. I mean, she doesn't know by herself to be. She should have known by herself not to what? Not to seclude with this guy. But she never got a warning that she shouldn't seclude with this guy. So how does she not even know that to worry about this? And the guy's going to come after her and say, oh, I warned her, and then she's going to be in big trouble. Right? So that's what Rashi says here. But Mark and I, it's came low kine law, since he didn't warn her, and he's horrible. She wasn't careful about being secluded with this guy. Allah eat marhaki. This is where you read it. I Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yosef Yochanan the Dibur Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yuda half the Mishnah Teino and the Davar Sof. But even for our Mishnah, there isn't a Davar Sof. I mean, the Brisa is obvious in the Davar Sof. But even for our Mishnah, where he did give her kinoi with two Avim, there is in the Davar Sof because he can come afterwards and say, ah, she's Mishkar. So therefore, we always want two Avim here, according to Rabbi Yeshua, at least, right, to prevent these issues where the husband makes up the information afterwards. All right, Rabbi Chanina Misura lo leme inish the itate. Person today, in today's world, a person after Zman HaMikdash should not say to his wife, don't be secluded with this person. Why? Dilma Kaimalan Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe we hold like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Kinoi Al Pi Atzmo, that it works. You don't need anything for the Kinoi. Umistatra, and then afterwards she will be secluded with this guy. But let guy in the Mesota, the Mythica. Right? There will be no Mesota to check this out. Because Eloi Yisrad Lola. And then she'll be restricted him for the rest of his life. There's no way out of this problem. Samurai Shlakish, Malashon Kinoi. What is this Lashon Kinoi that we're talking about? What does Kinoi mean? Davar Matil Kina Beinal Beinachirim. Then it causes, I would use the word discomfort here. Rashi translated as pas, anger, between her and others. Why is this? Amukah Samurai Kinoi Al Piat Smoke. That the Kinoi comes from this individual, from the husband himself. He doesn't need Adim. Why? The husband warns the woman without anybody else knowing. And then when she goes out, she stops interacting with people. Nobody else knows that he warned her not to interact with people. I mean, Mike, the Kamo, the Kabbalah, what's with this woman that she's separating from people? And they're going to get angry at her, they're going to get upset or have discomfort with her because she's not interacting like she used to or in the past. And they won't know about it because the husband warned her privately. Now this is something that draws anger or discomfort or unpleasantries between her and him, between the husband and the wife. He must leave. The warning comes with two Aiden. Everybody knows that he warned her. That's why she's separating from them. They know why she's separating from them because he warned her. She's the one, what? She's going to get angry at him. Why is she going to get angry? Like, look what you did to me, right? You separated me out from all these people. You're suspecting me of doing something wrong. His wife's going to get angry at him. So the anger here is directed towards him, and that's his word, his wife. So where you think the kinoi is, the anger, the discomfort, or unpleasantry is, will be based on where you think how the kinoi functions. If you think the kinoi is a private matter, then the discomfort, the anger comes from her versus other people. If you think that the warning is a public thing in front of Adin, then the discomfort comes between him and his wife because he's suspecting separating her, everybody knows why she's separating. Okay, Alma Kasare also likanot. This goes back to the beginning of our Gemara. Sounds from these opinions here that we prefer that you don't do kinoy. Kinoy is a negative term, kas, unpleasantry. We don't want you to do kinoy. That's something we don't want you to generate. Umad Amar Mutu likanot. What about the one who says it is mutar to cause kinoy? Right? Mao Lashon kinoy. Then how do you explain the word kinoy? Right? If kinoy here is kas and unpleasantry, then it's certainly not what the interpretation of Mishnah is. The point of the one who says it's Mutu likanot. So my says, is Mao Lashon kinoy. Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak ain't kinoy Lashon hatra'ah. But it comes from the Lashon of warning. Right? So there it's not in a negative context. It's a context that he is warning her. It's telling you a fact that he's warning her and not something that's negative or a term that has negative connotations.